We Europeans, we are sitting here in this golden cage, and we have the luxury to see the bombs flying on TV. You guys come from Israel. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
There was just a former citizen or a refugee from Iraq, Hama, that told us what the situation in the Middle East is like now. I suppose you heard the interview as well. What do you think?
About what?
Well, I mean, the whole world is investing a lot of energy and a lot of money, and they're moving their tanks and ships to the Middle East right now. What do you think is behind this? You have a very, let's say, dangerous man in power in Israel right now that is likely to participate. If George Bush attacks Iraq, what do you think will Sharon do?
Sharon will do nothing because he do only what Bush told him to do.
What will he tell him to do? I mean, last time Israel kept kind of silent, just distributing gas masks to certain citizens only, as far as I understand. What can we expect right now?
The same, I think.
So you don't think that Israeli military will participate in this?
Only if Iraq will bomb Israel.
What do you think would be the difference compared to the reaction of Bibi Netanyahu in the times of the last war in the region?
I think it doesn't matter because they do only what they've been told to do. Only what the interest of the United States. So if the interest of the United States is to bomb Iraq, they will do it.
So you reckon there's a red telephone and they're just waiting for...
Yeah.
Do you think that behind, let's say, the current Israeli policies, there is a greater plan? Or do you think that Sharon is a fanatic that just is running his own agenda?
I think the plan is of the USA, not of us. Maybe they want the whole world Jewish, but I don't know.
Well, maybe the whole region, who knows?
Yeah.
I think that the United States want the conflict to stay how it is, because from the United States, so if there is a war and we buy weapons from the United States, they get the money and it's okay for them. And because of we're part of the United States colonialism, so this is what we've been told to do. This is what we're doing.
Well, there is a couple of million. Pass it on. There's a couple of million people living in Israel. Some of them have an Israeli passport. Others don't. Some of them are told you're an Arab. Others are told you're a Jew. Others are told, you have this and that passport. You have to live there and there. I mean, do you think that? This policy has a majority within the ruling minority, you understand what I mean? Do you think that the people of Israel will go along with whatever the US orders their government?
Yeah, because we live in a society of slaves. They always do what they've been told to do. So go to the army, go to the academy, go to school.
So you don't think that at a certain stage people will say, oh, well...
No, because like now there is a lot of poor people in Israel, and they don't do shit. They just wait for the money to come from the government.
Who are these poor people? I mean, I understand Israel is quite an international society as far as the roots of its inhabitants are concerned. There's people coming all the time. So who are the poor? Are the rich?
The rich is the Ashkenaz elite.
The?
Ashkenazim.
The formerly Northeastern European Jewish people. Oh.
Yeah.
So the poor are all the others?
Yeah, the poor are the people who came from Morocco and that kind of.
Is there within Israeli society like any kind of conflict of this kind going on? I mean, I understand that the publicity for electing different parties is subtitled in Russian.
Yeah, there is, because it's kind of a class war without the war between the people from Northern Europe and the people from Morocco and Iraq and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, you don't think that this, let's say, class war aspect could gain any more weight in this whole conflict? I mean, Just imagine I'm coming from Iraq and now I'm going to live in Israel and okay, I'm a Jew and I have a passport and I got a tiny little flat, but I don't have...
Maybe if we could talk to them all, then we can do something with them.
Well, no. You live there, man. What have they told you?
Well, they don't listen to us because we're left-wing traitors and stuff like that.
I read on the internet that there is about 100 in Israel left-wing traitors. I met some here in Amsterdam. But do you think this is true? Are you the only 100 or is there more?
No, there is more, but not so much. Like 500 maybe.
And what would be, like, let's say, a solution or a vision on the Middle Eastern problem from, let's say, this perspective?
Well, it's a different perspective because I don't have the same as other left-wing people.
No, give us yours, man.
I hope there will be no country. No Palestinian country, no Israel country.
No Jewish country. Country to all the people.
Well, as you know, in Europe we're always struggling with the terms here because of the Shoah. I mean, can you give us a tip? How is this supposed to be handled?
Handled with what?
Well, there is within the European left, as you mentioned this as such, there is a lot of struggle between, let's say, the old times anti-Semitism and, let's say, the from the 60s or 70s on left-wing anti-Zionism that has existed here. And people are still struggling with this, let's say, political and philosophical problems here in the north of Europe, especially in Germany, in Austria, in Switzerland, in the Netherlands, in Sweden, in Denmark. I mean, if we would say, yeah, there shouldn't be any Jewish country, there would be hordes of people standing up and saying, yeah, but you bloody anti-Semites and shut up. I mean, can you give us more insight on this?
Yeah, the problem is that you can... it's a good weapon to boycott Israel reflection of Ardid in the occupation territory and stuff. In one end, it's a great weapon, and it can force the Israeli government to stop it. But in the other end, the economy in Israel right now, it's sucks. anyway, the people got very angry and always search somebody to blame, you know. And the government use this to their goals, like...
So they will say, you'll eat after the war, right?
Hmm?
They say, you will eat after the war?
Yeah, something like this. Like, we need the army, the money for the army, not for social matters and stuff. Hmm?
They more say that the problem is that the Arab is blow us, and then because of this, people is afraid to go out. So they actually say that the economic problem is because of the Arabics, because the Palestinian, and that's the way to go for the goal to eliminate the...
Not eliminate, but eliminate
the terror groups in the...
To remain the occupation.
So, but, I mean, I understand that several, let's say, moderate left-wing groups like Social Democrats have tried some kind of perspective to end the conflict and say, yeah, well, after the Oslo Agreement, there will be something like autonomous territory, there will be a state, and we will live in peace. What does Likud promise you?
It isn't really a peace, it's a diplomatic peace. It's not peace of the society, it's peace of the... country, so it's not a solution for anything. Just will keep quiet in 1-2 years until it will be more problems again. Then the whole thing will return.
So the government of Sharon doesn't promise you any peace at all. Finally,
no, they actually promised the opposite thing. They promised that there will be an army solution, and then it will be a peace that we make them to do. Like occupation.
But well, no end. So, have you been to the army?
No, I refused to go to the army.
What happened to you?
They wanted me to go to a union to fight a combat unit, and I refused because I think it's very stupid to do that.
What did they say? I mean, as a consequence, you said no, I'm not doing this, and then?
No, it's more complicated. I say that I have a health mental problem, so I convinced them that I'm more dangerous to them and to myself, and if I go to the army, I just can risk their.
So you said, give me a gun.
Yeah, something like that. But Yotam is now in the army and he's been in the occupation, so you can ask him a few questions about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Give us some impressions.
Some impression. The orders that a soldier get in the occupation territory is basically. They try not to hurt the people, the Arabians that live there, but they got we have to hurt them, even that we're there, that they got checkpoints in every 2 kilometers, and they can't really live there. Or every time that the settlers are going out to start some problems, they lock up the Arabians, and anyway, it's not solution. No, there is no army solution there. No way. By any way,
the solution that the government is proposing that will be a 20-meter high wall will separate us for them, and every 50 meters they're gonna be a guard position, a guard
tower.
Yeah, tower. And that's it. We just will be separated from them. They will live in their shit, and we live in our. And that's it. That's what the government is suggesting.
And do you think that the majority of people in Israel buys this? They say this will be the end of it.
The sad thing is, yes, they actually buy it, and it's gonna cost $110 billion to buy all this this wall, but. The Israeli people is really think that this is the great solution that they can offer.
So
maybe they think that the Berlin Wall was a good idea.
Yeah, well, no, I remember that at the end of the Berlin Wall, there were many people that said, "Yeah, well, are you sure we want to take down the wall? Because we're never gonna know what's happened next." I was just at, yeah. Well, if you look at what happened to Eastern Germany and Eastern Europe right now, it's becoming more and more of an economic colony of the West. But I think it's a slightly different problem. What do you think is gonna happen? Do you think that George Bush is gonna have him and his friends attack Iraq or not? What's your?
If he's gonna lose the election, then yes. If not, no.
Yeah, so you think it's gonna stay pending?
Yeah.
Well, I wish you very much luck with your struggle. Maybe people will listen in the future.
Okay, thank you.